the U.S. administration has annexed the Syrian conflict to its own war on terror. It has tried to impose its battle on Syrians so that they will abandon their own battle against the tyrannical, discriminatory Assadist junta. But, the war on terror is centered around the state. It is a statist conception of the world order which strengthens states and weakens communities, political organizations, social movements, and individuals. In the record of this endless fight against terrorism, there has not been a single success, and thus far three countries have been devastated over its course: Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. 1. Yasin al-Haj Saleh, former Syrian communist dissident who spent 16 years in Assad's dungeons. Introduction. This article deals with a specific aspect of the U.S. role in the Syrian conflict. Its drive to co-opt the Free Syrian Army, FSA, into a proxy force to fight only the jihadist forces of Jabhat al-Nusra, now Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, or JFS, and the Islamic State, ISIS, Daesh, while giving up their fight against the Assad regime. This reality sharply contrasts with the comic book view widely expressed in tabloid journals of the mainstream, left and right, that alleges the Syrian rebellion against the dictatorship of Bashar Assad is a conspiracy involving both the US, Al-Qaeda, the Gulf States, Turkey, Israel, George Soros, and many others. In reality, the US and the Al-Qaeda spin-offs have been involved in Syria on opposite sides from the outset. It is a particularly bad case of alternative news when the US is depicted as supporting the forces it bombs in Syria, the Islamic State and Nusra, JFS, and often mainstream rebel groups, too, while supposedly trying to overthrow the Assad regime, which is untouched by U.S. bombing. Both the U.S. and Nusra, JFS, are enemies of the Syrian revolution and the FSA. Yet both act to undermine it through maintaining some kind of relationship with it. In this they play a different tactical role to the direct counter-revolutionary role of Russian imperialism and Iran, and also of the Islamic State. But in this process of soft undermining of the revolution from within, the US and Nusra, JFS, have been in radical conflict with each other, forcing the FSA and other rebels to walk a fine line, given the overwhelming military superiority of their enemy. Overview: US policy on Syria. This story of deceit, conflict, and betrayal involving the triangle US-FSA-Nusra is only one aspect of the US role in the Syrian conflict, so an overview of general US policy on Syria will be presented first. Fundamentally, the US has always been hostile to the revolution, for the same reason imperialist powers generally oppose people's uprisings against stable capitalist regimes that serve their interests. The starting point needs to be an understanding that the long-term, multifaceted, all-encompassing Syrian uprising is a revolution. Regardless of the limitations of political leadership, and even more so, when looking at where the revolution has been at its strongest, that class has been the more decisive factor than sect and other issues that often appear to superficially dominate. Yasin al-Haj Saleh sums up the regime as an obscenely wealthy and atrociously brutal neo-bourgeoisie, which has proved itself ready to destroy the country in order to remain in power forever. Moreover, in its relationship with its subjects, this regime reproduces the structure of imperial domination, which is 1,000 times more telling than any anti-imperialist rhetoric. 3. This is central to understanding the American view, which was highlighted when U.S. State Secretary Hillary Clinton's asserted that Bashar Assad was a reformer, 4. As Assad was gunning down peaceful protest in early 2011. At the same time, the U.S. has no special love for particular representatives of such a brutal neo-bourgeoisie if in destroying its country it cannot crush the masses and instead only intensifies the revolutionary instability. The U.S. assassination of its client, South Vietnamese dictator Ngo Diem, in 1963 being a case in point. So 8 months and thousands of deaths later, President Obama finally called on Assad to step aside. This Yemeni solution, named after the arrangement in Yemen whereby former dictator Saleh ceded power to his deputy to preserve a cosmetically reformed regime, was spelled out when U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, in July 2012, stressed that when Assad leaves, the best way to preserve stability is to maintain as much of the military and police as you can, along with security forces, and hope that they will transition to a democratic form of government. 5. This has been U.S. policy from Geneva II through recent rounds in close cooperation with Russia, in which even Assad himself could remain in a transitional government. 6. U.S. leaders understood that Assad cannot completely crush the uprising, and if the FSA were crushed it could only lead to further growth of Islamist and jihadist formations to absorb the dispossessed Sunni majority, given the real divisions among the population and the exploitation of them by the regime. For a reformed capitalist regime to stabilize the country for capitalist rule would therefore, in this context, require it to incorporate some conservative sections of opposition leadership. Therefore, the more ideologically heterogeneous sections of the opposition, such as the FSA, should not be crushed, but weakened enough to be susceptible to co-optation. The search was on for a Syrian Abbas. Thus, bare survival for the FSA was the purpose of US aid. And the minimal level of this aid demonstrated this. It was never even remotely of the quantity or quality necessary for the FSA to win even tactical victories on the ground, let alone win outright, or to allow a permanent balance with the regime. Till late 2013, the US only provided non-lethal aid, which was regularly cut off, 7, such as binoculars, radios, ready meals, and tents. 8. When the CIA arrived on the Turkish and Jordanian borders in mid-2012, its role was blocking others from supplying the advanced weapons that the FSA needed, 9, especially anti-tank and anti-aircraft weapons, 10, often the US blocked any weapons getting to the FSA, 11. The US embargo on anti-aircraft weapons remains today. Given that Assad has been waging an air war since 2012, this is a fundamental aspect of US intervention. Even when FSA groups tried to buy portable anti-aircraft missiles, manpads, on the black market, somehow, the Americans found out and our purchase was blocked. 12. When the US finally began providing some, vetted, rebels with light arms in late 2013, i.e. the kind of weaponry which they already manufactured or captured, 13, reports of rebels being supplied 16 bullets a month exemplified the limited objectives of this support. 14. As for the concurrent CIA training program, many rebels who already knew how to fight felt the main American interest was surveillance. 15. The rest of the essay will look at the main purpose of this aid to some Syrian rebels. The main US aim has been to try to redirect them away from fighting Assad into its own war on terror as a deliberate counter-revolutionary strategy. Some background, the US-FSA Nusra Triangle of Conflict. Two lines on the question of dealing with jihadism have been in conflict throughout the war. The first is the Syrian revolutionary line. The rebels see the Assad regime as their main enemy, and believe attempting to defeat the jihadists without defeating Assad would be unsuccessful, because the regime is responsible for conditions leading to jihadism. However, they have clashed with Nusra, JFS throughout the conflict on their own terms, defending themselves or their communities. Against Nusra, JFS attacks. At the same time, they often cooperate militarily against the massively more powerful regime, and have refused US prodding to launch a frontal attack on Nusra, JFS, which they see as suicidal for the anti-Assad forces. However, the dramatically more violent terror against the Syrian people launched by ISIS led the rebels to make their own decision in late 2013 to launch an all-out frontal attack on it, but did not view this war as taking precedence over their war against the regime. They fight the dual counter-revolution. The opposing US-backed line was the imperialist Sawhat line, named after the Sunni militias recruited by the US in 2006-07 to defeat al-Qaeda in Iraq. Mobilizing Sunni fighters to fight Sunni jihadists was a positive step for the US compared to its previous reliance on Iranian-backed Shiites, which encouraged sectarian slaughter. However, the US-Iranian-backed Shia-led regime dropped its promises to incorporate Sunni into the regime once al-Qaeda was defeated, hence its negative connotations. In Syria, the Safat's key differences with the revolutionary position are that, firstly, the US has pushed the FSA to launch a full frontal attack on Nusra as well as ISIS, and secondly, to gain US support even for their own war against ISIS, the US demands the rebels fight ISIS only and end their fight against the regime. For most part, the FSA has walked this fine line successfully, defensively. Fighting Nusra attacks, while rejecting US demands to launch a frontal offensive on Nusra, launching its own war against ISIS while rejecting US demands to stop fighting the regime, highlighting the absurdity of claims that the FSA is either a CIA or an al-Qaeda front. The FSA is the armed expression of the 2011 uprising, composed of troops who decided to protect fellow Syrians rather than killing them, and popular forces who armed themselves for protection against Assad's violence. Its main goal is the overthrow of the Assad dictatorship. But the Islamic State set up its own murderous dictatorship, which also must be overthrown. The problem with the US line, of fighting ISIS only, is that the very conditions that led to the rise of ISIS in eastern Syria and western Iraq, the large-scale political and social dispossession of Sunni Arabs by the Assad regime and its allied, US-backed Iraqi sectarian regime, are thereby entrenched. Syrian revolutionaries therefore see the overthrow of Assad as a prerequisite for the destruction of ISIS, the very reverse of the US strategy. Sporadic early FSA clashes with Jabhat al-Nusra. To demonstrate this, we will first review the early clashes between the FSA and Nusra. The first main cause was when Nusra tried to capture FSA-controlled regions. In March 2013, for example, fighting broke out between the FSA-aligned Farouk brigades and Nusra in Tal Abayad, as the latter attempted to seize the Turkish border post from the FSA. 16. The other reason for clashes was to defend communities from Nusra, accompanied by popular demonstrations against theocratic repression. In Idlib, protests and clashes began in late 2012. 17. In Raqqa, liberated in March 2013, demonstrations broke out against Nusra, including women's demonstrations. 18. Heated discussions between FSA and Nusra cadres highlighted the tensions, but also the fact that Nusra was unable to forcibly impose its rule. 19. When Nusra executed three captured military officers, local coordination committees organized demonstrations, chanting, "Not Sunni and not Alawite, our revolution is for civil freedom." In Kafranbel in Idlib, demonstrators raised a banner reading, "Executions in Raqqa, and lashing in Saraqib. Who's given you legitimacy to rule the people?" In Aleppo they chanted, "The Sharia Committee has become the Air Force Intelligence," or, what a shame, Shabia have become revolutionaries." 20. FSA units often went to the aid of protesters. In June 2013, in the Jabal al-Wastani region of Idlib, Nusra assassinated two civilians, accusing them of owning a bar, and tried to arrest someone they accused of working for the regime. Fighters from the National Unity Brigade of the FSA prevented them, and seven FSA battalions forced Nusra out. When Nusra tried to force a checkpoint in another village, they were arrested and barred them from the region. 21. During a battle in the Damascus region, an FSA soldier got angry and cursed God. When a Nusra chief demanded he be charged with blasphemy, the local FSA battalion kicked Nusra out of the area. An FSA activist stated, "If Nusra are going to be extremist, their services are not wanted." In the village of Musifra in Daraa, Nusra executed a local man they accused of working for the regime. Civilians surrounded the al-Nusra court with heavy weapons and forced the jihadists out of the village. In the village of Medine, when a local was ordered to appear before a Nusra Sharia council, he drove his car by the relevant building and threw a bomb inside, killing five Nusra militants. 22. In September 2013, FSA units defeated Nusra in the eastern city of Abu Kamal. The ceasefire forced Nusra to expel foreign fighters, established that security would be handled by FSA-affiliated groups, prohibited Nusra checkpoints, and stipulated that a court order was required for house raids, which could only be performed by FSA brigades. These clashes make nonsense of assertions that the FSA is part of a jihadi conspiracy. But they also revealed that Nusra was unable to impose its full control. And that it could be defeated. Following the Abu Kamal events, Nusra issued a two-page apology to the people of Abu Kamal. 23. This was the start of a softening of Nusra views and actions. Nusra leader al-Juliani denounced transgressions by al-Nusra fighters and called for redressing how the civilians in Nusra-controlled areas are dealt with. 24. The context was the split between Nusra and the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, ISIS, around mid-2013. Nusra's most reactionary elements, and most foreign fighters, went with ISIS. Nusra's relative moderation reflected the pressure of its mostly Syrian base, many of whom only joined Nusra due to its superior funds, arms and organization compared to the FSA, rather than due to ideological commitment. 25. Many quit FSA units to join Nusra for these reasons. If you join al-Nusra, there is always a gun for you, but many of the FSA brigades can't even provide bullets for their fighters, according to a fighter in Idlib. 26. In September 2013, the entire 11th Division of the FSA, based in Raqqa, joined the smaller, but better-armed Nusra branch, to better resist ISIS. 27. When a rebel coalition led by this Nusra, stuffed with FSA ranks, briefly liberated Raqqa from ISIS in January 2014, they removed the black flags which ISIS had placed on the spires of Christian churches. 28. In April 2014, this Raqqa Revolutionaries Brigade re-emerged from Nusra, and became the main FSA ally of the Kurdish People's Protection Units, YPG, defending Kobani against ISIS. This highlights the contradiction between the sectarian Nusra leadership and many of its ranks. From mid-2013 until late 2014, FSA Nusra clashes virtually ceased, both focused on fighting the regime, alongside various mainstream Islamist brigades. U.S. drive to turn FSA into the Sawhat against Jabhat al-Nusra. These sporadic clashes with Nusra demonstrate that the FSA is not some jihadi organization. But the other side of this equation was the policy being pushed by the U.S. As shown above, the limited U.S. support to the FSA demonstrated its hostility to the latter's revolutionary objectives, but the U.S. is also hostile to the jihadist forces. However, this hostility to the latter is used as cover for its hostility to the whole revolution. We can't send arms to the FSA because they might end up with the jihadists. Yet when this becomes, we need to send some arms to FSA moderates to boost them against the jihadists, such arms are severely inadequate. What better way to deal with both than to prematurely set the moderate FSA against the jihadists, and let them kill each other, in the face of the regime's overwhelming power, sapping the FSA's revolutionary potential by turning it into a Syrian sawhat. When rebel commanders met U.S. intelligence offices in late 2012 to discuss getting U.S. arms, the U.S. offices were only interested in discussing drone strikes on Nusra, and enlisting the rebels to join the attack. When the FSA members said that unity against Assad's more powerful forces was paramount at present, the U.S. offices replied, "We'd prefer you fight al-Nusra now, and then fight Assad's army, later." 29. This has been the main condition on which the U.S. has offered to send a few guns to select FSA units ever since. The G8 communique in June 2013 made no mention of the regime but called for the expulsion from Syria of al-Qaeda and any other non-state actors linked to terrorism, while French President François Hollande demanded rebels expel extremist groups as a condition for getting any French arms. 30. So, if the FSA's clashes with Nusra showed it was not a jihadist organ, was it a CIA organ willing to carry out these US orders? Not at all. FSA clashes with Nusra had been on their own terms, and defensive in nature. According to FSA Colonel Akaidi, from the Aleppo Military Council, if the US wants to turn the FSA into the Sawat, and thus help us so that we kill each other, then we don't want their help. 31. The FSA wanted to avoid full-scale war with Nusra to prevent anti-Assad fighters killing each other in the context of Assad's massive military superiority. The contradictory nature of many of Nusra's anti-Assad ranks was another reason. It was Nusra that was provoking conflict with its reactionary consequences, while the US, from the opposite side, was also pushing for a full-scale confrontation. Even when the US first listed Nusra as a terrorist organization in December 2012, many Syrians took to the streets claiming, "There is no terrorism in Syria except that of Assad." 32. Though other revolution activists disapproved of slogans which could imply sympathy for Nusra. But their message was that, given Assad's greater terror, the US could not tell them who their enemy was, hardly the message of CIA proxies. Thus the imaginary US-FSA al-Qaeda conspiracy against Assad collapses on both sides. The FSA and rebel war on ISIS. But the period of relative peace with Nusra was not the end of the FSA's war on jihadism. While Nusra's Syrian base acted to partially moderate its behavior, the split had the opposite effect on ISIS, whose base among foreign jihadi fighters, whose very presence in Syria was dependent on their sponsor, facilitated its imposition of open terror. While Nusra focused on fighting the regime, ISIS and the regime largely ignored each other to concentrate their fire on the rebels. 33. The second half of 2013 saw a growing war as the FSA acted to defend the masses in liberated zones from ISIS' attempts to impose theocratic tyranny. From the outset, ISIS was far more brutal than Nusra, firing into demonstrations with live ammunition and brutally killing rebels. 34. When ISIS assassinated senior FSA leader Kamal al-Hamami in Latakia on July 11, 2013, the FSA declared war on ISIS. 35. When it seized control of Raqqa, ISIS acted with wanton violence, leading the FSA Raqqa Revolutionaries Front to launch resistance. 36. In August, ISIS drove the Afad al-Rasul brigades out of Raqqa by destroying their headquarters with car bombs, and in September launched a campaign of purification of filth aimed at destroying the FSA. Clashes erupted in Deir Ezzor. In Aleppo, where 44 fighters were killed in October. In Azaz, where the FSA Northern Storm resisted an ISIS drive to seize the border. And throughout the country. 37. The survival of the revolution required decisive action. On January 2014, the major FSA and Islamist brigades launched a full frontal war on ISIS throughout Syria. 38. Significantly, this was triggered by nationwide demonstrations against ISIS on January 3, 39, calling ISIS alien invaders and demanding their expulsion. 40. This was evidence of a continued link between the civil uprising and its military reflection. within weeks, the rebels had driven ISIS entirely from Idlib, Hama, Latakia and most of Aleppo, then in the east from Deir Ezzor and briefly even Raqqa, the biggest and most rapid defeat suffered by ISIS any time in the war. Western Syria has remained free of ISIS ever since. Not only did the rebels achieve this without US air support, the Assad regime bombed them in support of ISIS, even helping ISIS reconquer towns it had been driven from. 41 areas that were untouched by regime bombs while under ISIS control were immediately subjected to regime bombing once under rebel control. 42. After refusing to arm the FSA because jihadists who fight alongside the FSA might get their hands on the arms, now the US refused to arm the FSA because these jihadists might get their hands on the arms while fighting against the FSA. Although the FSA attacked ISIS with its own agenda, one might assume US leaders would be pleased it was doing what they had been demanding, yet the US was reluctant to boost assistance to moderate groups battling ISIS until the fighting in northern Syria ends. 43. The New York Times explained that neither of the two sides in the rebel fighting presents a particularly attractive face to Western policymakers. 44. While James Clapper, US Director of National Intelligence, asserted that Nusra, then aiding the rebels against ISIS, had aspirations to attack the US, an absurd proposition. 45. An explanation more in keeping with US policy was that the US refused to aid the rebels even against ISIS, unless the rebels dropped the fight against the regime. This same pattern, Assad bombing to help ISIS against the rebels and the US refusing to aid the rebels against ISIS, continued when ISIS made a comeback in eastern Syria following its windfall of advanced US weaponry seized in Mosul in June. In June to July, rebels held out in the city of Deir Ezzor for weeks against an ISIS siege, during which the Assad regime bombed the rebels in tandem with ISIS, helping it seize the city. 46. The US, already bombing ISIS in Iraq, refused to aid the Deir Ezzor rebels against ISIS. Yet, from the time conflict between the regime and ISIS over Deir Ezzor began in November 2014, the US has been bombing on the side of the regime. 47. The myth that the CIA and Pentagon programs were in conflict. The secret CIA program of supplying light arms and training to vetted FSA groups from late 2013 is often contrasted to the $500 million Pentagon program, launched later in 2014, to equip an armed force to fight ISIS only and not the regime. As we will see, the Pentagon's full saw hat collapsed. Attracting anti-Assad fighters to a force banned from fighting Assad was a logical disaster. The CIA program, by contrast, is usually presented as anti-Assad, aimed at helping the rebels exert military pressure on the regime. We even read that the CIA and Pentagon were working at cross purposes. However, a closer look shows that this was facade, not only because the weapons were grossly inadequate for the purpose of pressuring a regime with such massively superior killing equipment, or for defending already held positions, but also because the purpose of the CIA's co-optation was for a more roundabout, yet more effective, route to the same destination as the absurd Pentagon program. The CIA understood the need to sweeten up viable rebel groups first before bending them into a viable sawhat. CIA's TOW program, helping fight Assad or same old sawhat. Once the rebel war on ISIS had reached its limits, the US did begin a program of tightly controlled delivery of TOW, anti-tank guided missiles, ATGMs, to several of the vetted FSA groups who had defeated ISIS. The delivery of TOWs does not prove the US is supplying them, most are supplied by Saudi Arabia from its own stocks. 48. However, it is understood that the Saudis must have US permission to deliver US-made weapons, though the reality may be more tug-o-war at times. This followed a two-year CIA-enforced embargo on US allies supplying anti-tank weapons to the rebels. 49. Meanwhile, the US has continued to vigorously maintain its embargo on anti-aircraft weapons. 50. But the rebels' increasing ability to capture anti-tank weapons from the regime anyway, 51, and use them effectively, pushed the US to change direction and instead try to take some control of this supply as a co-option tool, and the TOWs were less efficient than Russian-made Concours and Cornets which the rebels have captured, 52. The first TOWs were delivered in April 2014, and the number of groups receiving TOWs soon spread to 9, 53, though they only received a few dozen TOW anti-tank missiles between them, resulting in a minimal effect on the battlefield. 54. By the end of the year it was down to only 4 groups, 55, with few weapons actually being delivered to anyone. 56. What occurred in between? The large Idlib-based FSA coalition, the Syrian Revolutionaries Front, SRF, is often referred to as one of the US-backed TOW recipients. However, it was not on the initial list of groups receiving TOWs, and its leader, Jamal Maarouf, claimed, "We have received lots of promises from the US, but so far nothing more." 57. The SRF, which had successfully driven ISIS from Idlib, was also dedicated to overthrowing Assad. But while Maarouf's immediate group of fighters did not receive TOWs, some of the other factions who pledged allegiance to his front did. An April video depicting cadre from an SRF component, the Gab Wolves Brigade, training in the use of TOWs, helps explain why, when a fighter reveals, the weapons are sent by the Americans, and they only give weapons to those who specifically fight ISIS. They are not giving us weapons to fight Assad. They give us weapons to fight ISIS. 58. In June 2014, Nusra suddenly ended the year-long truce and launched a murderous attack on the SRF in Idlib. In response, the SRF, Harakat Hazem and other local FSA groups, Division 13, Division 101, Fersen al-Haq, etc., decided to suspend any and all forms of cooperation and coordination with the Jabhat al-Nusra. 59. However, there was a difference between not cooperating with Nusra and the U.S. demand to wage war against it. The SRF stressed that, despite al-Nusra's atrocities, the SRF has no intention to carry weapons against al-Nusra, as it is busy fighting the Syrian regime, 60, thus refusing to become a Sawhat Brigade. The U.S. initially had more faith in another northern FSA coalition, Harakat Hazem, some of whose member groups had quit the SRF, to which the first TOWs were delivered in April 2014. But the TOWs were few and far between, with shipments containing only three or four missiles, which were no better than the Russian weapons they captured from the SAA. Hazem leaders admitted to still fighting alongside Nusra, despite the declaration ending cooperation, since the failure of the US to deliver adequate weapons leaves them unable to refuse whatever allies come their way, including those with opposing politics. 61. Hazem was caught in a vice. The paucity of US support forced them to maintain some cooperation with Nusra. Yet this cooperation was used by the US to wind down support. The real goal of this US support was explained by a former Hazem member. By September 2014, the United States started to pressure us to leave the battlefield against Assad and to send all our forces to fight ISIS. We had no problem to go fight ISIS, but wouldn't agree to stop fighting Assad. From then on, our relations with the Americans went from bad to worse, and eventually they stopped backing us. When Jabhat al-Nusra attacked us, we had already lost all foreign support, because we dared to disobey the Americans. 62. US launches war on ISIS and Nusra and dumps FSA. The test came when the US-led coalition started bombing ISIS in September. The US also bombed Nusra from the first day, even though Nusra, with all its faults and crimes, was not engaged in the kinds of near-genocidal activities that ISIS and the regime were. Since Nusra was based in many of the same regions as the rebels, U.S. bombs hit other rebels, especially Ara al-Sham, 63, and killed numerous civilians. The regime was untouched by U.S. bombs, and welcomed the U.S. intervention, 64, collaborating with it via intelligence sharing, 65, and coordinated bombing, 66. Now was the time for U.S.-backed groups who had received handfuls of TOWs to aid the U.S. in destroying the jihadists. Yet despite their own war against ISIS and conflict with Nusra, they refused to endorse a campaign that targeted only these groups but not the regime. Harakat Hazem issued a powerful statement condemning the US bombing as a violation of national sovereignty and an attack on the revolution. 67. The SRF joined a dozen large FSA-linked and Islamist brigades and denounced the US airstrikes as aiding Assad. 68. Most FSA and rebel brigades denounced the US intervention. 69. Failing this U.S. proxy test, the FSA was excluded from the start from any voice in the U.S.-led coalition to fight ISIS. 70. John Allen, the general in charge of the coalition, confirmed that there is no formal coordination with the FSA. 71. While Pentagon spokesman John Kirby declared the U.S. does not have a willing, capable, effective partner in Syria. 72. This lack of coordination led to near strikes against the FSA. 73. This was the background to the reports by late 2014 showing the US had virtually halted all support to the FSA. 74. Nusra launches war on the FSA, US throws them under a bus. The US attack on Nusra also provides background to Nusra's destruction of the SRF in Idlib in November and Harakat Hazem in Aleppo in January 2015. Most Nusra cadres in Deir ez-Zor had fled to Idlib following their defeat by ISIS in July. Battle-hardened fighters, weapons and experience flooded in, suddenly making Idlib a new Nusra stronghold. but the SRF was a competitor in Idlib, and Nusra does not like competition. The bombing led to a surge in support for Nusra, seen as the martyr of an unjust US attack that benefited Assad. In mass demonstrations throughout Aleppo, Idlib, and Homs, demonstrators chanted, "We are all Nusra," or "Nusra came to support us when the world abandoned us." 75. Nusra used this surge in moral authority to turn on the SRF and Hazem. Its propaganda claimed that any groups that had accepted US weapons were US proxies. Despite their refusal to be the sawhat, Nusra's case was helped by the very vocal way in which the US advocated the FSA use its weapons against Nusra. Demonstrations in support of the SRF broke out in the SRF heartland, with a strong role played by women, 76, but Nusra's martyr status neutralized opposition to Nusra's attack elsewhere in Idlib. It also militated against the SRF, putting up stiff resistance. It maintained its established policy to avoid soaking the province in fratricidal bloodshed. Meanwhile, the winding down of US support meant that the SRF, Hazem and the FSA were in a weaker military position had they wanted to confront Nusra, while in a weaker position politically. Due to Nusra being bombed by what was seen as their US backer. As one FSA official put it, "We have a huge American flag our back but not a gun in our hand." 77. Faisal Attani sums up this US policy. US airstrikes on Jan immediately produced a new and powerful rival to already vulnerable moderate forces. By striking Jan without sufficiently strengthening its moderate counterparts first, and promising, publicly, no less, to use them to fight Jan and not the regime, the United States made the opposition appear just threatening enough to provoke Jan, but not so threatening as to deter the jihadist group. 78. State of the Free Syrian Army at the outset of 2015. Nusra's crushing of the SRF and Harakat Hazem did not end the FSA in the north. There were other large FSA units in the Idlib and Aleppo regions, e.g. Division 13, Fursan al-Haq and others who formed the 5th Brigade Coalition, and countless smaller units. In addition, there were various rebel groups with some kind of Islamist reference but were not Salafist, such as Jaish al-Mujahideen, Jabhat al-Shamia and the MB-linked Faylaq al-Sham. The 10-20,000 SRF and Hazem troops did not just disappear. Many went to these other FSA groups. Many Hazem cadre in Aleppo joined Jabhat al-Shamia. Some SRF cadre in Idlib joined an expanded Ara al-Sham. Nusra's aggression against the SRF was condemned by Ara al-Sham leaders. 79. Some SRF cadre deserted to Nusra at the outset, but even some cadre who had opposed Nusra's takeover subsequently fought under Nusra purely as a powerful vehicle to keep fighting the regime. Another indication of the fluidity of group membership. 80. Relative strengths led to markedly different military coalitions. In Aleppo, the Futuh Halab, Aleppo Conquest, coalition of over 30 major brigades, FSA, Soft Islamist, and Ara al-Sham, excluded Nusra from membership. Nusra's disagreements with other rebels led it to largely withdraw from northern Aleppo province and Aleppo city. 81. Nusra remained in a strong position in southwest Aleppo bordering Idlib, but even there was continually challenged by popular protest, especially in towns such as Al-Atarib. 82. In contrast, Idlib now became Nusra's main base. While it did not rule Idlib, the exclusion it faced in Aleppo was impossible. The new military coalition, Jaish al-Futuh, Army of Conquest, comprised 8 groups, of which Nusra and Ara al-Sham were the 2 largest. Others, Faylaq al-Sham, Ajnad al-Sham, were part of the soft Islamist middle, while Jaish al-Sunnah was a non-ideological brigade of Homsi exiles. 83. In the string of major victories in early 2015, Idlib City, Jush al-Shuga, etc., the major FSA Idlib brigades, Division 13, Fursan al-Haq, fought alongside Jaish al-Futuh, but were not members. South of Idlib, FSA brigades were more prominent. In northern Latakia province, the FSA 1st Coastal Brigade. In northern Hama, the FSA Nasser brigades. In Homs, the new Homs Liberation Front. U.S. allies and proxies against ISIS, whoever does not fight Assad. When the U.S. ground down its support to northern FSA groups in late 2014, it shifted its support in several directions. What these different forces had in common was that they did not fight Assad. In the north, the Pentagon announced its $500 million plan to train and equip, vetted, individual rebels, rather than FSA units, to form a new force from scratch to fight ISIS. 84, it collapsed in a heap. The vetting process reduced the initial 1,200 fighters interested to 125, the rest either rejected by the US or quit. While more than willing to fight ISIS, they rejected the US demand that they sign a declaration pledging that their weapons would only be used against ISIS and not against the regime. 85. Even worse, the Pentagon first engaged in a week of bombing Nusra in northern Syria before dispatching the first 54 fighters of Division 30 into that very region. 86. Not surprisingly, they were captured by Nusra. In a statement concerning the attack on Division 30, Nusra claimed the captured fighters admitted that their job was to fight Nusra and other terrorist groups, and accused them of spotting for the US airstrikes. 87. Of course, confessing while Nusra captives is hardly reliable, but the context makes these assertions plausible. They also blend with suspicions among Syrian rebels. Several weeks earlier, the MB-connected Liwa al-Haq warned that all the checkpoints need to inspect those coming from Turkey. There are stray dogs the Americans have finished training that will enter Syria soon. Their mission is spying and assassinations. 88. Whether this disaster was US incompetence or malice was the only question. One local activist noted that sending in the 54 and then bombing Jan a few miles away from their positions, implying the 54 acted as spotters for the US Air Force, looks like constructing a case that, see, all our well-meant support is hopeless, justifying the US abandonment of the FSA even for Sawhat purposes. 89. Meanwhile, in the south, the US cobbled together the new Syrian army. In November 2015, the NSA, backed by US airstrikes, expelled ISIS from the Al-Tanf border crossing with Iraq, releasing a video showing copious US weaponry. Later it launched a failed raid on Abu Kamal, where the going was tough, because many Deir ez-Zor rebels distrust its American backers, especially because the NSA's introductory video made no mention of fighting the regime. 90. Meanwhile, while backing these toothless ventures, the Pentagon refused to provide air cover the FSA and allied rebel forces in their ongoing conflict with ISIS east of the strategic frontline rebel-held towns Mer and Tal Rifat in northern Aleppo province. In June 2015, the Syrian Air Force bombed the rebels, assisting an Islamic State offensive on rebel-held areas. 91. Explaining why the U.S. did not aid the rebels against ISIS, Pentagon spokesman Colonel Stephen Warren said the rebels are not a willing partner on the ground. 92. But according to the Syrian-American Council, U.S. officials gave the astounding reason that aiding the rebels in Aleppo would hurt Assad, which would anger the Iranians, who might then turn up the heat on U.S. troops in Iraq. 93. However, a year later, the U.S. did launch several airstrikes in support of a new North Aleppo rebel brigade attacking ISIS. The Mutazm Brigade also became the first ever rebel brigade in Syria to receive airdropped weapons from the U.S. in significant quantities. This U.S. support is explained by the views of the brigade's leader, Mutazm Abbas, when extremist groups started festering in our society. We redirected our battles just to fighting ISIS and other extremists. Once we get rid of ISIS, then the regime will crumble. 94. However, by late 2014 the main US ally on the ground had shifted to the Kurdish-based People's Protection Units, YPG, led by the Democratic Union Party, PYD, already involved in its own war against ISIS in northeast Syria. In 2015, the US helped hammer together the Syrian Democratic Forces, SDF, consisting overwhelmingly of the YPG alongside small numbers of Arab fighters from rebel or non-rebel groups in northeast Syria. Since late 2014, every YPG and SDF offensive against ISIS has been heavily backed by fully coordinated US airstrikes. The YPG/SDF is the only group in Syria with the right to call in US airstrikes. US arms have been dropped directly to them in the field. Hundreds of US special forces have been sent in to work with them. 95, and several US airbases have been built in their territory. 96. The YPG/SDF are not US proxies. They have their own goals, centered around a Kurdish autonomy expanded into what they call a democratic confederalist entity that incorporates non-Kurds and promises a revolutionary model for post-Assad Syria. It is not the aim of this essay to assess the realities of this project. The point is merely that the US and the YPG, SDF are currently allied as their interests have converged. Spokespeople for both sides claim that the US provides air cover for the YPG, SDF because they are the most effective fighters against ISIS. They were indeed effective, especially when fighting to liberate Kurdish-populated territory from ISIS tyranny. However, as we saw above, the FSA, rebels drove ISIS out of the whole of western Syria without any US airstrikes to aid them. Thus both the FSA, rebels and the YPG, SDF have been effective fighters against ISIS, due to their real roots among the populations they represent. Both have done a much better job than the Assad regime, whose only victory against ISIS was the reconquest of Palmyra, after spectacularly losing it, with the aid of Russian airstrikes. Assad then lost it again. And the second reconquest was carried out with the aid of both Russian and US airstrikes, 97. Rather, the issue is what the YPG, SDF has in common with the US proxy forces. It fights only ISIS, and not the Assad regime. In its case, this is their own decision. The Assad regime made a pragmatic deal with the PYD in 2012 to withdraw its forces from the three main concentrations of Kurdish-majority territory, leaving them to the PYD. This was not due to Assad's love for Kurdish autonomy. It merely enabled Assad to concentrate his fire on revolutionary forces elsewhere. Nor to any PYD love for Assad not getting barrel-bombed like everyone else has its advantages. Nevertheless, this policy of not fighting the Assad regime meant that the US condition imposed on ex-rebel proxies was already met by this far more significant fighting force of its own accord. Thus the US-PYD alliance makes war on ISIS in eastern Syria, while both can ignore Assad and Russia bombing the revolutionary populations in western Syria. US subversion of the Southern Front. Though the main US shift, when it dumped the FSA in the north, went towards proxies or the YPG, another subtle shift was towards the real FSA in the south, the Southern Front, based in Daraa province. With 35,000 troops in over 50 brigades, the SF carried out a string of victories in late 2014 and early 2015. The SF's democratic, secularist anti-sectarian politics, 98, alongside its dominance over jihadist groups in the south, is often cited as the reason for this new US support, as the numbers of TOWs increased among SF groups, as they were drying up in the north. However, like the abandoned SRF and Hazem, and unlike the YPG and the Pentagon proxies, the SF's main enemy was the regime. Did this indicate actual US support for anti-Assad resistance in the south? In mid-2015, the SF released a declaration rejecting any military or ideological cooperation or rapprochement with the al-Nusra Front or any Takfiri ideology adopted by any group among the ranks of the Syrian rebels, 99, provoked by Nusra claiming victories that had been made by the SF. Like all Syrian rebels, the SF vigorously condemned the massacre of some 20 Druze in Idlib by a Nusra unit and announced its readiness to protect Druze villages. However, this was well within FSA revolution, rather than Sawhat parameters. The SF made clear that ceasing cooperation with Nusra is not a declaration of war, and would not face off with Nusra. 100. So, like the SRF-Hazem FSA non-cooperation statement in Idlib, and the exclusion of Nusra from Futuh Halab in Aleppo, this highlights the fine line the FSA tries to walk between the demands of the jihad and the demands of the Sawhat. U.S. support to the Southern FSA, coordinated via the Military Operations Center, MOC, in Amman, consisting mostly of U.S., Jordanian and Saudi intelligence offices, had not always been forthcoming. In May 2013, for example, MOC deliberately held back arms to rebels facing a strategic battle in the southern town Kirbat Ghazala, leading to its capture by Assad. 101. Throughout summer 2013, the US failed to supply a single rifle or bullet to the FSA in Daraa, and actively prevented deliveries of Saudi arms and ammunition. 102. It also involved training a group of people to maintain order in the event of a catastrophic collapse of the Assad regime, rather than to fight Assad. 103. The new US interest in arming the SF was connected to the war on ISIS. Unlike the Pentagon shambles, the CIA wanted to work through viable military organizations, all of which were fighting the regime. The US strategy appears to have been to allow the SF to feel some victories, then once a level of dependence was created, turn on the screws. After the SF's string of victories in early 2015, taking the Jordanian border crossing at Nasib, Sheikh Miskin, Nawa, the historic town of Bushra al-Sham, and Regime Base 52, the US and MOC imposed a series of red lines, where the SF was not to go. 104. These included the central area of Daraa city, the neighboring province Suwayda, north towards the city of Sassa, and any attempt to link up with the rebel-held suburbs of Damascus. SF offensives to take Daraa city and the Thala airbase were unsupported, 105, or blocked. 106. According to some reports, if the SF violated the red line against advancing towards Damascus, it would come under US attack. 107. By mid-2015, the MOC had scaled back support for the SF, 108, and use of TOWs trickled off in late 2015, and totally vanished in the first 2 weeks of 2016, though SF spokesman Assam El-Reis denied this was new. Rather, MOC licensed resupplies have remained as low as they ever were. 109. Reports in early 2016 indicated that Jordan had forced the Southern Front to halt all military actions. The context included Jordan's acquiescence with the Russian invasion, and indications that Jordan would be happy with the Assad regime retaking the entire region from the SF. 110. When the US and Russia jointly tasked Jordan with listing terrorist organizations to be excluded from talks, Jordan's list included some 160 rebel groups. 111. However, a full regime reconquest of Daraa would be a major undertaking. As long as the SF is held back by red lines and arms freezes, it posed no problem to the regime's aim of destroying the main revolutionary centers there, East Ghouta, Moadamia, Daraa, etc. The US-Jordan strategy involved the familiar sawhat. In January 2016, MOC officials told the SF to stop attacking regime forces and instead focus their efforts on the jihadists, and fighting Nusra was even more important than fighting ISIS. If they did as demanded, they were promised new weaponry. 112. In May, the MOC tasked some 4,500 SF troops with driving ISIS-connected militia out of some pockets around Daraa, telling the SF it was tired of your excuses for delaying these operations, and warning it would cut cash flows until they scored victories over ISIS. 113. In March 2016, the SF took part in the US-Russia-facilitated nationwide ceasefire. In reality, however, it was only a lull in bombing. So while the regime continued bombing at lower intensity, particularly in Aleppo and Daraa in the Damascus suburbs, maintaining the ceasefire became the new rationale for holding back the SF. In May 2016, new US MOC red lines were set in a meeting with rebel groups from around the country, deeming the destruction of military and security structures in Syria a red line, and called on rebels, as part of a peace process, to join the ranks of the Syrian army in its fight against Jabhat al-Nusra and all armed groups that refused to join the army. 114. The betrayal of Daraa. In mid-2016, Assad's troops marched into the iconic revolutionary town of Daraa, one of the key centers remaining wedded to the ideals of the 2011 uprising. Thousands of residents still remaining after years of bombing, starvation and dispossession, but also heroic resistance, were deported to other parts of Syria. While 748 barrel bombs were dropped on Daraa in June 2016 alone, 115, and the other Damascus suburbs were also being furiously bombed, besieged and starved, just a little to the south the once mighty Southern Front was forced to abide by the ceasefire. Many popular forces demanded the SF reactivate the fronts against Assad. According to one pro-Islamist rebel declaration, conspiracies against the revolution can't be foiled except by opening up the Damascus front. Ellipsis. And Daraa, i.e. the SF, won't act except with a white, soft coup against the MOC. 116. How this US MOC intervention against the SF betrayed Daraa is explained by this piece that appeared just a few weeks before the surrender. The MOC summoned leaders in the Southern Front for an emergency meeting in which they were warned against launching an offensive to seize Sheikh Maskan, a town lies along a motorway that run northward from Daraa's provincial capital toward Damascus. Ellipsis. The same month that the town fell into government hands, the MOC ordered the Southern Front to halt its operations against the Syrian regime in the Daraa province in order to focus its fight on ISIS-affiliated groups in the region. An official in Ara al-Sham issued a fiery warning to Free Syrian Army-affiliated rebels in southern Syria, saying they were culpable for the regime's recent advances into the besieged western Damascus suburb of Daraa. 117. Conclusion. CIA and Pentagon programs had same goal. To sum up, therefore, as with the CIA program and the delivery of TOWS in the north, the much-heralded CIA support to the once magnificent Southern Front turned out to be a long way round to the same goal as the Pentagon program, to end the rebel war against Assad and turn them into US proxies against the jihadists only. With results such as the crushing of two large FSA coalitions in the north, the demobilization of the Southern Front, and the crushing of Daraa, the CIA program was more effectively counter-revolutionary than the Pentagon program. Precisely because the latter could mobilize no significant forces, except the YPG, from the start. So let's lay to rest the myth of the anti-Assad CIA program being at odds with the anti-ISIS Pentagon program. Return to the north. How does Euphrates Shield fit this picture? Between the crushing of Daraa and the crushing of eastern Aleppo later that year, attention must swing back to the north. Does Turkey's Euphrates Shield operation fall within the sawhat strategy? Turkey's Erdogan regime had been one of the strongest supporters of the anti-Assad rebellion. While Turkey's anti-Kurdish policy is usually given as a main objective of its intervention in Syria, this explains little. Erdogan had a very strong relationship with Assad until 2011, and Assad could be relied upon to crush Kurdish Rojava once he crushed the rest of the rebellion. And until mid-2015, Erdogan had been involved in a half-hearted peace process with the PKK anyway. But Turkey could not sit by as millions of refugees from Assad's slaughter poured across the border. Overwhelmed, Turkey's government eventually decided that the cause of this massive instability needed to be removed. And a regime pushing a soft Islamist discourse at home and regionally allied to the Muslim Brotherhood would lose credibility if it ignored Assad's wholesale slaughter of mostly Syrian Sunnis. Turkey initially put forward its plan to evict ISIS from Azaz to Jarablus in the northern Aleppo border region and set up a safe zone in mid-2015. Erdogan's plan was partly to relieve the refugee burden by allowing refugees to settle, safe from airstrikes, in northern Syria. However, his alliance with the rebels, who were to patrol the zone, meant that Turkey's intervention threatened to go beyond its border issues, and provide backup for the rebels' war against the regime. Therefore, this was rejected by the US, which insisted there are no US plans for a safe zone, a no-fly zone, an air exclusionary zone, a humanitarian buffer zone or any other protected zone of any kind. 118. Yet in mid-2016, when Turkey launched the Euphrates Shield operation in alliance with FSA and Islamist militia to evict ISIS from the Azaz to Jarablus Strip, it was supported by both US and even Russian airstrikes, even though its theoretically resolute anti-Assad policy clashed with both US and Russian objectives. 119. Ironically, it was YPG actions that laid the basis of this US-Russian. In February 2016, the YPG seized a chunk of Arab-majority northern rural Aleppo from the FSA and rebel groups with the direct aid of Russian air cover, including the iconic revolutionary town of Tal Rifat. This cut rebel-held eastern Aleppo city off from rebel-held northern Aleppo regions around Mehr and Azaz and from the Turkish border. So the Azaz-Mehr rebels, squeezed between the Turkish border, the YPG to the west and south and ISIS-held northeast rural Aleppo, attacked east and seized the border town of Al-Rai from ISIS. 120. Turkey meanwhile had been gathering rebels across the border to drive ISIS from Jarablus. 121. Turkey's decision to evict ISIS from this zone thus coincided with the need of the Azaz-Mehr rebels to break their isolation. However, because the YPG was occupying Tal Rifat and ISIS held Al-Bab, there was no route for the Turkey FSA offensive to link up with and help defend fellow rebels in Aleppo city from Assad. Therefore, as it had no way of fighting Assad, this FSA operation against ISIS could gain both US and Russian support, regardless of the rebels' desires. They could support an unintentional sawhat. However, for Erdogan it may have been less unintentional. Following the botched coup attempt in mid-2016, the AKP began moving in a more conventional Turkish nationalist direction, symbolized by its new alliance with the far-right Turkish chauvinist MHP. This push into northern Syria offered this nationalist consensus an influence in this heavily Turkmen-populated region, an opportunity to block the YPG's threat to link its Kurdish cantons of Kobani and Afrin by seizing this non-Kurdish zone in between, and a potential zone to push Syrian refugees into 122, while offering no danger of a clash with Assad. This new Turkish policy made it easier for Erdogan to reconcile with Putin, and Turkey became a key partner, with Russia and Iran, in a new peace process launched in the Kazakh capital Astana. For Russia, ensuring the process worked in the regime's favor involved facilitating Assad's victory in Aleppo, meaning the rebels entered the process drastically weakened. The question then was whether Euphrates Shield weakened the rebels in the face of the decisive Aleppo showdown. One might argue that, given the Azaz-Mehr rebels were already cut off from Aleppo, driving back ISIS was the best they could do, and did no harm to the Aleppo front. However, Euphrates Shield not only involved the Azaz-Mehr rebels, but also several thousand rebels Turkey had recruited from across its northwest border, from rebel-held Idlib and southwest rural Aleppo, while 60% of Turkmen fighters pulled out of Aleppo city in August to take part in Euphrates Shield. 123. This left East Aleppo drastically weakened when Assad reimposed total siege. Accusations of Turkish betrayal came from various quarters. Abu Abd, the final leader of rebel forces in Aleppo city, claimed that due to the orders of the sponsor, a lot of fighters from Aleppo left it to fight in the northern countryside. 124. Ahmed Hussein, from Ara al-Sham, noted that despite the regime's worst attack so far, we have not received any significant support to counter them, 125, while Abdul-Ila al-Fahed, the opposition national coalition, claimed that Aleppo's fall was facilitated in an international agreement, 126. Possibly some of the rebels who moved north imagined that expelling ISIS from northeast Aleppo could open the front against Assad from the north. This would have required Euphrates Shield seizing al-Bab from ISIS, yet that operation only began once Aleppo was crushed. Whatever the subjective intentions of the rebels or Turkey, the effect was the same: Aleppo was abandoned. Turkey was also abandoning traditional positions. Turkish leaders now stated their agreement with the US position that Assad could play a role in the transitional government, 127, a point on which they had previously differed. During the siege, Turkish leaders repeated the demand made by the US, 128, and Russia that the rebels separate themselves from JFS and expel it from Aleppo, 129, yet there were only 800 to 900 JFS fighters of the rebel force, 10 times that number in Aleppo, and were only inside the city at all due to their role in breaking Assad's first siege of Aleppo from the outside. In the context of apocalyptic regime and Russia bombing, the demand to expel JFS was a demand on the rebels to weaken their own defenses. Clashes between Syrian rebels and HTS jihadists, early 2017. In this context of Euphrates Shield, the crushing of Aleppo, Astana, the intensified US war on Nusra, and Donald Trump's new pro-Putin US administration, new clashes erupted between different groups of rebels in Idlib and western Aleppo in early 2017. 130, on one side was the new Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS, alliance, formed by JFS, which split from al-Qaeda in mid-2016, and four small rebel groups. On the other were the majority of rebel groups, including Ara al-Sham, which expanded as six moderate Islamist brigades joined it, 131, and the FSA. These clashes did not last long. The need to avoid all-out conflict, in order to focus on Assad, the Russian and Iranian invaders and ISIS, reasserted itself. At the time, however, analyses of this conflict ranged from the idea that it represented a new revolution against al-Qaeda, 132, to the claim that HTS was leading a struggle against rebel leaderships trying to end the revolution in the service of Turkey, Russia and the US, 133. As we have seen, the struggle against Nusra, JFS in Idlib both by the FSA, rebels and popular struggle has been ongoing, sharpening with Nusra attacks on demonstrations bearing the flag of the revolution and on FSA Division 13 early in 2016, 134. This legacy lends legitimacy to the new revolution discourse. Complicating this picture, however, was that Turkey's Euphrates Shield operation was allied to a range of rebel groups, most of whose Idlib chapters were in conflict with JFS. While Turkey was involved with the Astana process with Russia and Iran. Astana aimed to trap the opposition into accepting a transitional role for the Assad regime, while pushing them to turn all their guns against both ISIS and JFS, classic Sawhat. After the Astana meeting of January 23-24, Russia, Turkey and Iran released a statement that reiterate d. their determination to fight jointly against ISIL, Daesh and al-Nusra, i.e. JFS, and to separate from them armed opposition groups, 135. According to one source, this clause transformed the positions held by al-Nusra into a cake that the regime forces and opposition factions are trying to annex, 136. However, while taking part in the discussions, the rebel leadership resisted capitulation at Astana. Stressing they were not party to this agreement, the FSA's Osama Abu Zaid noted that the three countries can sign any agreements they want to, 137. The opposition delegation refused to talk about confrontation with Jabhat Fateh al-Sham in Syria, before removing the foreign, Iraqi, Afghan and Iranian militias from Syria, 138. Likewise, the Syrian coalition stressed that only areas controlled by the ISIS extremist group should be excluded from the ceasefire, i.e., not areas with JFS presence, 139. The rebels also continued to reject any role for Assad in a transitional regime, 140, and declared their aims at Astana were to achieve basic preconditions for real negotiations, including the release of captives and an end to regime sieges, 141. However, caught in a bind, the rebels abided by the ceasefire for the sake of the civilian population, despite its terms legitimizing regime, Russian and US attacks on JFS-controlled territory. Yet the Assad regime refused to abide by any ceasefire, and continued to furiously bomb East Ghouta and Wadi Barada, 142. Furthermore, some statements from the exile-based Syrian coalition were less principled than the rebels' positions. For example, in one statement the coalition called for the formation of an international coalition to oust all terrorist organizations from Syria. 143. JFS began its attacks on rebel groups that very week. Either JFS believed it had to preemptively attack the rebels before they coveted its territory, or could use this clause as a pretext to attack its adversaries. Astana was in full accord with the US position. Over December 2016 and January 2017, the US stepped up its war against JFS, killing hundreds their cadres, 144, as well as allied fighters from the Nur ed-Din al-Zinki Brigade, 145, and plenty of civilians, though it also bombed Ara al-Sham, JFS's main opponent, 146. Along with being the main target of US bombing, JFS was also the only significant armed group that opposed the Turkish intervention and Astana process. 147, together with a small degree of moderation which has crept into its governance, 148, and its discourse, 149, since breaking with Al-Qaeda, this has allowed JFS to project itself as the only true resistance to Astana and capitulation. Trump continues and intensifies the Obama-Kerry legacy. While Trump's Syria policy shows much continuity with the Obama legacy, his open praise for Putin's and Assad's alleged fight against ISIS suggested an even greater counter-revolutionary role for the US. 150. Under Trump, the bombing of JFS in Idlib and Western Aleppo reached its most horrific point with the slaughter of some 57 worshippers in a mosque in Western Aleppo. 151, which Trump's Russian friends defended as aimed at terrorists. 152. While the nature of the war on ISIS was highlighted with massacre of dozens of displaced people in a school in Raqqa, 153, and the mass killing of hundreds of civilians in Mosul, 154, meanwhile, the US role alongside Assad, Russia and Iran in the latest reconquest of Palmyra was widely reported, 155, and a calculation US bombings in February from CENTCOM, i.e. the US-led coalition bombing Syria, shows that while 60% were carried out in coordination with the SDF, most of the other 40% was in alliance with Assad in Deir ez-Zor, Palmyra and Idlib, some 195 of the 548 strikes, 156. Then in the very days before Assad's chemical attack on Khan Sheikhoun, three prominent US leaders announced that the US was no longer sick, focused on removing Assad, whose longer-term status will be decided by the Syrian people, but is for now a political reality that we have to accept, 157. Assad mistook this encouragement to mean that even the use of sarin would pass, resulting in the first ever US strike on the regime, on the airfield from where the sarin was launched. After this singular US credibility strike on Assad, following 7,899 strikes on anti-Assad targets, all wings of the US leadership scrambled to emphasize that it was a one-off, that we're not going into Syria, that it was only in response to sarin, that the US had no interest in Assad's continued use of his other weapons of mass destruction, that defeating ISIS remains the priority, that tensions with Russia would not spiral out of control, 158, and that there was no change in US policy, 159. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster clarified that if there were any regime change, it would be carried out by Russia, and that the US goal was limited to a significant change in the nature of the Assad regime and its behavior in particular, 160, conclusion. It is not surprising that key revolutionary centers that continually resist the jihadists, Ma'arat al-Numan, 161, Atareb, 162, Kafran Bel, Dereya and so on, centers where revolutionary councils have been most successful, have been continually targeted by regime airstrikes. It is also not surprising that the US again cut off its meager support to the rebels when the latest conflict erupted with JFS. Allegedly, to ensure that supplies do not fall into extremist hands. 163. This may seem counterintuitive, given US pressure on the rebels to fight Nusra, but is logical when we remember that the rebels refused to drop the fight against Assad. These facts indicate that both the US and Assad see the real revolution as the main threat, with anti-jihadism a useful propaganda device. But this regime, Russian and US bombing boosts the standing of JFS amid false ceasefire processes. As Felix Legrand points out, the very inverse dynamic from that intended has resulted from these ceasefires, as Nusra, JFS, emerged indisputably strengthened from the failure of the agreement. Between the regime and the non-jihadist opposition, 164. Because Assad continues to slaughter through the ceasefires, when the rebels try, for good reason, to respect them, JFS gains points as the true resistance. A genuine ceasefire, especially one based on a more positive relationship of forces than at present, would aid the Democratic Revolutionary Forces, because the jihadists thrive on military struggle. Every time there is some lull in the fighting, the masses return to the streets with the flag and slogans of the revolution. A revival of the civil movement would provide a chance to overcome the sectarian atmosphere. Massive slaughter is not conducive to rebuilding harmony. At this point, the military side of the struggle appears to be largely lost. The long-term U.S. drive to divert the revolution to the war on terror and other forms of sabotage, and the undermining of the struggle by other alleged foreign friends, alongside the massive Russian and Iranian intervention and the rise of ISIS, have all led to this point. Of course, there is no military solution, and the arguments that some Syrians fear certain rebel formations taking power in Damascus are as unreal as fears of Hamas emerging from Gaza to rule in Tel Aviv. However, the military balance on the ground is a decisive factor. It is the difference between a ceasefire leading to a political arrangement in which the opposition can demand the release of political prisoners, the end of sieges, keeping their weapons, providing security and democratic governance to the areas they control and so on, compared to one in which the regime is able to deny these basics. In other words, the difference between a ceasefire that leaves the door open to non-military revolutionary possibilities and one that slams it fully shut. At the same time, the severe political limitations of the opposition leaderships are also crucial factors. The issue is not merely military. But it is beyond the scope of this article to analyze this question. The point here, however, is that the sabotage of the FSA's military position has also had profoundly negative impacts on the relationship of political forces within the Syrian opposition. It imposes a false choice between total capitulation, dressed up as the only acceptable form of moderate politics, so reminiscent of Palestine, and nihilistic rejectionism and jihadism as the face of continuing the struggle. Such an evolution of the political situation within the anti-Assad camp does not bode well for the revolutionary possibilities of a genuine ceasefire, even one based on a more favorable military balance than at present. However, from afar, we can do little but provide solidarity with both the military and political struggles that do presently continue, and not give up on the revolution while its sparks continue to rage throughout Syria, in some cases to amaze. Read more on Syria by Michael Karagias at his Syrian Revolution Commentary and Analysis blog. 1. Yasin al-Haj Saleh, The Syrian Cause and Anti-Imperialism, Al-Jumhuriya. 5 May 2017, http://aljumhuriya.net/n/critical-thought/the-syrian-cause-and-anti-imperialism. 2. Michael Karagias, Who Has the U.S. Bombed, Bombed for and Bombed Within Syria? Syrian Revolution Commentary and Analysis. 3 September 2015, https://imkarajas.wordpress.com/2015/09/03/who-has-the-bombed-for-in-syria/. 3. Yasin al-Haj Saleh, The Syrian Cause and Anti-Imperialism, Al-Jumhuriya. 5 May 2017, http://aljumhuriya.net/n/critical-thought/the-syrian-cause-and-anti-imperialism. 4. Patrick Goodenough, Syrian President Assad regarded as a reformer, Clinton says, CNS News. 28 March 2011, http://www.cns-news.com/news/article/syrian-president-assad-regarded-reformer-clinton-says. 5. U.S. Defense Chief, Syria military must remain intact when Assad goes, Reuters. 30 July 2012, https://www.reuters.com/article/uk-syria-crisis-usa-adukba-86-t1kf201201207-30. 6. U.S. sees Assad staying in Syria until March 2017, The Daily Star. 6 January 2016, http://www.dailystar.com.lb/news/middle-east/2016/jan-06/33044-assad-staying-in-syria-until-march-2017. 7. Serene Asir, Western-backed Syria rebels in disarray as aid halted, The Daily Star. The 12th of December 2013, http://www.dailystar.com.lb/news/middle-east/2013/deck-12/24840-syrian-rebel-spokesman-decries-us-aid-decision.ash-ixts-2-0-4-wg-8-j. 8. Lauren Williams, U.S. to Titan Mechanisms for FSA Aid Delivery, The Daily Star. The 25th of November 2013, http://www.dailystar.com.lb/news/middle-east/2013/november-25/23877-to-titan-mechanisms-4-fsa-delivery.ash-acts-2-lsxxmwe. 9. Normalers, Syrian rebels get missiles. Fears rise that portable anti-aircraft weapons could wind up with terrorists, The Wall Street Journal. The 17th of October 2012, https://www.wsj.com/articles/SB10008723963904436841045782628429296730704. 10. John Follain and Tony Allen Mills, CIA Police's Weapons Entry to Syria as Spooks Invade Turkey, The Australian. The 13th of August 2012, https://www.theaustralian.com.au/news/world/sia-police's-weapons-entry-to-syria-is-spooks-invade-turkey/story-fnb64oi6-12264487059009. 11. Joanna Parashay, The U.S.-Saudi Conflict Over Arms to Insurgents, A Worldview. The 23rd of June 2013, http://eaworldview.com/2013/06/syria-special-the-saudi-conflict-over-arms-to-insurgents/. 12. Charles Lister, Russia's Intervention in Syria. Protracting an Already Endless Conflict, The Huffington Post. 2015, http://www.huffingtonpost.com/charles-lister/russias-intervention-in-s_b_8350266.html. 13, Caitlin Hu, Syrian rebels' homemade weapons are getting bigger, Quartz Media. The 19th of March 2015, Marlon Dick, Syria's Western-backed rebels. Not in Weapons, The Daily Star, the 31st of May 2014, https://qz.com/365934/syrian-rebels-homemade-weapons-a-getting-bigger/. 14. Adamantis, Covert CIA Mission to Arm Syrian Rebels Goes Awry, The Wall Street Journal. The 26th of January 2015, https://www.wsj.com/articles/covert-sia-mission-to-arm-syrian-rebels-goes-awry-14223295822. 15. Raja Abdulrahim, Syria Rebels, Once Hopeful of U.S. Weapons, Lament Lack of Firepower, Los Angeles Times. The 7th of September 2014, http://www.latimes.com/world/middle-east/la-fg-syria-haracat-hazem-2014090-7-story.html#:1. 16. David Enders, Islamists, Secular Rebels Battle in Syria Over Nusra Front's Call for Islamic State, The Miami Herald. The 26th of March 2013, http://www.miamiherald.com/latest-news/article1948577.html. 17. Hannah Matada and Anne Barnard, Jihadists and Secular Activists Clash in Syria, The New York Times. The 26th of January 2013, http://www.nytimes.com/2013/01/27/world/middle-east/syria-war-developments.html. 18. Raqqa. Women Against Al-Nusra Front, Syria Untold. http://www.syriauntold.com/n/2013/07/raqqa-women-against-al-nusra-front/. 19. Rania Abuzaid, A Black Flag in Raqqa, The New Yorker. The 2nd of April 2013, http://www.newyorker.com/news/news-desk/a-black-flag-in-raqqa. 20. Joseph Deyer, Syria or Elsewhere, There Are No Pure Revolutions, Just Revolutions, Syria Freedom Forever. The 7th of June 2013, https://syriafreedomforever.wordpress.com/2013/06/07/syria-or-elsewhere-there-no-pure-revolutions-just-revolutions/. 21, Basma Kodmani and Felix Legrand, Empowering the Democratic Resistance in Syria. PDF, Arab Reform Initiative, Beirut, Paris, September 2013, pp. 26-27, http://www.arab-reform.net/n/node/593. 22, Michael Weiss, The Southern Front, Part 1, Now. The 15th of August 2013, https://now.mmedia.me/lb/n/commentary-analysis/the-southern-front. 23, Hassan Hassan, Rebel vs. Rebel, Foreign Policy. The 18th of September 2013, http://foreignpolicy.com/2013/09/18/rebel-vs-rebel/. 24, Tarek al-Abed, The Impending Battle Between FSA, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, Al-Monitor. The 31st of July 2013, http://www.al-monitor.com/pulse/security/2013/07/syria-possible-battle-fsa-islamic-state-iraq-syria.html. 25, Vera Miranova, Lubna Imri and Sam Witt, Islamists at a Glance, Why Do Syria's Rebel Fighters Join Islamist Groups? The reasons may have less to do with religiosity than you might think, Political Violence at a Glance. The 13th of August 2014, http://political-violence-at-a-glance.org/2014/08/13/islamists-at-a-glance-y-do-syrias-rebel-fighters-join-islamist-groups-the-reasons-may-have-less-to-do-with-religiosity-than-you-might-think/. 26, Mona Mahmoud and Ian Black, Free Syrian Army Rebels Defect to Islamist Group Jabhat al-Nusra, The Guardian. The 9th of May 2013, https://www.theguardian.com/world/2013/may/08/free-syrian-army-rebels-defect-islamist-group. 27, Alison Tarmitsian Muse, Raqqa's FSA Brigades Join Jabhat al-Nusra, Syria Deeply. The 20th of September 2013, https://www.newsdeeply.com/syria/articles/2013/09/20/raqqas-fsa-brigades-join-jabhat-al-nusra. 28, Robin Yassin Kassab, The Rise and Fall of ISIL in Syria, Al Jazeera. The 19th of January 2014, http://www.aljazeera.com/in-depth/opinion/2014/01/rise-fall-isil-20141157292579732.html. 29, Phil Sands, America's Hidden Agenda in Syria's War, The National. The 9th of May 2013, http://www.thenational.ae/news/world/middle-east/americas-hidden-agenda-in-syrias-war. 30, Hollande urges Syria rebels to retake extremist zones, The Daily Star. The 23rd of June 2013, http://www.daily-star.com.lb/news/middle-east/2013/jun-23/221321-Hollande-urges-syria-rebels-to-retake-extremist-held-zones.ash-axts-2x5dwf4mo. 31, Rula Khalaf, The West is Losing Friends Who Will Matter After Assad, Financial Times. The 27th of April 2013, https://www.ft.com/content/71e492do-acdd-11e2-9454-00144 fbdco. 32. Syrian protesters slam U.S. blacklisting of jihadist group The Daily Star. 14 December 2012, http://www.dailystar.com.lb/news/middle-east/2012/deck-14/1985-27-syrian-protesters-slam-as-blacklisting-of-jihadist-group.ash-axts-2f62w5uns. 33. Omar Sheikh Omar and Cassandra Vinograd, Syria, ISIS have been ignoring each other on battlefield. Data suggests, NBC News, the 11th of December 2014, http://www.nbcnews.com/storyline/ISIS-terror/Syria-ISIS-have-been-ignoring-each-other-battlefield-data-suggests-N264551. 34. Basma Kodmani and Felix Legrand, Empowering the Democratic Resistance in Syria. PDF, Arab Reform Initiative, Beirut, Paris, September 2013, p27, http://www.arab-reform.net/n/node/593. 35, FSA, at war with Al-Qaeda militants following assassination, now. 12 July 2013, https://now.m.media.me/lb/n/now-serialites-news/new-front-opens-in-syria-is-rebels-say-al-qaeda-attack-means-war. 36, Basma Kodmani and Felix Legrand, Empowering the Democratic Resistance in Syria. PDF, Arab Reform Initiative, Beirut, Paris, September 2013, P28, http://www.arab-reform.net/empowering-democratic-resistance-syria. 37, Michael Weiss, Islamists Assemble, now. 25 September 2013, https://now.mmedia.me/lb/n/commentary-analysis/islamists-assemble. 38, Leila Al-Sharmi, Syria, Revolution Within the Revolution, The Battle Against ISIS, Tahir ICN. 7 January 2014, https://tahirecn.wordpress.com/2014/01/07/syria-the-battle-against-isis/. 39, Joseph Deyer, Protests Against ISIS January 3, 2014, Syrian Freedom Forever. 3 January 2014, http://syriafreedomforever.wordpress.com/2014/01/03/protests-against-isis-january-3-2014/. 40, Joanna Parachet, ISIS are alien invaders say Kafran Bell activists, AIA worldview. 4 January 2014, http://eaworldview.com/2014/01/syria-isis-alien-invaders-say-kafranbell-activists/. 41, Leila Al-Sharmi, Syria, Revolution Within the Revolution, The Battle Against ISIS, Tahir ICN. 7 January, https://tahirecn.wordpress.com/2014/01/07/syria-the-battle-against-isis/. 42, Kyle Orton, The Assad Regime's Collusion with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Assessing the Evidence, 24 March 2014, https://kyleorton1991.wordpress.com/2014/03/24/assessing-the-evidence-of-collusion-between-the-assad-regime-and-the-warabi-jihadists-part-1/. 43, Sam Dakar and Maria Abi Hababan, Fighting Among Rebels Boost Syrian Regime, The Wall Street Journal. 13 January 2014, https://www.ws.j.com/articles/fighting-among-rebels-boost-syrian-regime-138964-wsj-and-earl=http%3a%2f%2font-line.wsj.com%2farticle%2fsb10001424050027030819040070470.html and tesla=y. 44, Ben Hubbard, Syrian rebels deal Qaeda-linked group a reversal, The New York Times. the 8th of January 2014, https://www.nytimes.com/2014/09/world/middle-east/syrian-rebels-said-to-oust-qaeda-linked-group-from-its-aleppo-headquarters.html?r=0. 45, Spencer Ackerman, Al-Qaeda faction in Syria contemplating U.S. attack. Intelligence officials warned The Guardian. 30th of January 2014, https://www.theguardian.com/world/2014/jan/29/al-qaeda-syria-nusra-front-intelligence-threat. 46, ISIS, regime close in on Deir-e-Zor rebels, Syria direct. 18th of January 2014, http://syriadirect.org/news/isis-regime-close-in-on-deir-e-zor-rebels/. 47, U.S. Embassy of Syria, 5th of December 2014, https://twitter.com/assembassy-syria/status/54097274741220352 Nowhere to retreat for ISIS militants in Deir ez-Zor. Syrian army intensifies their attacks in the west, Al-Mazda News. 26 September 2014, https://www.almazdanews.com/article/nowhere-retreat-isis-militants-deir-ez-Zor-syrian-army-intensifies-attacks-west/. 48, Arabi Suri, Anti-Tanks Technology FSA Hands, Syria News. 18 April 2014, http://www.syrianews.cc/anti-tanks-technology-fsa-hand/. 49, John Follain and Tony Allen Mills, CIA Police's Weapons Entry to Syria as Spooks Invade Turkey, 13 August 2012, The Australian. http://www.theaustralian.com.au/news/world/sia-polices-weapons-entry-to-syria-spooks-invade-turkey/story-fnb64oi6-12264487059090. 50. Charles Lister, Russia's intervention in Syria. Protracting an already endless conflict, The Huffington Post. 2015, https://www.huffingtonpost.com/charles-lister/russias-intervention-in-s_b_8350266.html?r=Australia. 51, David Axe, How to Take Out 1,800 Tanks in 2 Years, War is Boring. 18 November 2013, https://medium.com/war-is-boring/how-to-take-out-1-800-tanks-in-2-years-74-ECD413CB93. 52, Michael Weiss and Pierre Vaux, Are U.S. Missiles Taking Out High-Ranking Russian Military Officials? Daily Beast. 2 May 2016, https://www.thedailybeast.com/a-missiles-taking-out-high-ranking-russian-military-officials. 53, Scott Lucas, Syria, The 9 Insurgent Groups with U.S. Made TOW Anti-Tank Missiles, AIR Worldview. 9 May 2014, http://eaworldview.com/2014/05/syria-9-insurgent-groups-made-tow-anti-tank-missiles/. 54, Raja Abdulrahim, Syria Rebels, Once Hopeful of U.S. Weapons, Lament Lack of Firepower, Los Angeles Times. 7 September 2014, https://www.latimes.com/world/middle-east/la-fg-syria-harakat-hazem-20140907-story.html/page=1. 55, FSA North's new vids show U.S. TOWs still arriving, 17 December 2014, https://not.george.sabra.tumblr.com/post/10537112880/fsa-north's-news-vids-show-is-toes-still-arriving. 56, Josh Rogan, Syrian Rebels See U.S. Abandoning Them, 13 December 2014, https://www.bloomberg.com/view/articles/2014-12-12/syrian-rebels-c-abandoning-them. 57. Ari Sofer, moderate, rebel leader says, Al-Qaeda is not our problem, Arutz Shiva. 2 April 2014, http://www.israelnationalnews.com/news/news.aspx/179200. 58, Syria's unending rebel conflict. Wolves of the Valley, Vice News. 25 April 2014, https://www.youtube.com/watch?feature=player_detd-page&v=9cb3ourdal3g. 59, Hazem Movement and Syrian Revolutionary Front, suspending all forms of cooperation with Nusra, Democratic Revolution Syrian style. 21 July 2014, https://not.george.sabra.wordpress.com/2014/07/22/hazem-movement-and-syrian-revolutionary-front-suspending-all-forms-of-cooperation-with-nusra/. 60, after ISIL, Jabhat al-Nusra announces Islamic Emirate in Syria, ARA News. 22 July 2014, http://aranews.net/2014/07/ISIL-Jabhat-al-Nusra-announces-second-Islamic-Emirate-Syria/. 61, Raja Abdulrahim, Syria rebels, once hopeful of U.S. weapons, lament lack of firepower, Los Angeles Times. 7 September 2014, http://www.latimes.com/world/middle-east/la-fg-syria-harakat-hazem-2014090-7-story.html#page=1. 62, Felix Legrand, Foreign Backers and the Marginalization of the Free Syrian Army. Arab Reform Initiative, 13 November 2016, http://www.arab-reform.net/n/node/1007. 63, Michael Karagias, Who Has the U.S. Bombed, Bombed For and Bombed Within Syria, Syrian Revolution Commentary and Analysis. 3 September 2015, https://imkarajas.wordpress.com/2015/09/03/who-has-the-bombed-for-in-syria/. 64, Syria Direct. News Update, Syria Direct. 24 September 2014, http://syriadirect.org/news/syria-direct-news-update-9-24-14/. 65, Jack Corey, Report, U.S. Providing Assad Regime with Anti-Islamic State Intelligence, Haaretz. 15 September 2014, http://www.haaretz.com/middle-east-news/.premium-1.615892. 66, Kelly Strom, Raqqa, To Appease Iran, Obama Gives Assad's Air Force a Free Pass for Slaughter, Left Foot Forward. 1 December 2014, http://leftfootforward.org/2014/12/Raqqa-to-appease-Iran-Obama-gives-Assad's-air-force-a-free-pass-for-slaughter/. 67, Harakat Hazem Statement, https://pbs.twim.com/media/bipsesexmiakwai2wt.jpg. 68, https://pbs.twim.com/media/bioitamamatdf.jpg. 69, Michael Karagias, Syrian rebels overwhelmingly condemn U.S. bombing as an attack on revolution, Syrian Revolution Commentary and Analysis. 25 September 2014, https://imkarajas.wordpress.com/2014/09/25/syrian-rebels-overwhelmingly-condemn-is-bombing-is-and-attack-on-revolution/. 70, Josh Rogan, No Syrian Rebels Allowed at ISIS War Conference, Daily Beast. 14 October 2014, http://www.thedailybeast.com/no-syrian-rebels-allowed-at-isis-war-conference. 71, Hannah Alam, U.S. won't work with current Syrian rebel groups to battle Islamic State, The News and Observer. The 15th of October 2014, http://www.newsobserver.com/news/nation-world/world/article100972672.html. 72, Josh Rogan, No Syrian Rebels Allowed at ISIS War Conference, Daily Beast. The 14th of October 2014, http://www.thedailybeast.com/no-syrian-rebels-allowed-at-isis-war-conference. 73, Josh Rogan, Exclusive, America's Allies Almost Bombed in Syrian Airstrikes, Daily Beast. The 30th of September 2014, http://www.thedailybeast.com/exclusive-americas-allies-almost-bombed-in-syrian-airstrikes. 74, Josh Rogan, Syrian Rebels See U.S. Abandoning Them, the 13th of December 2014, https://www.bloomberg.com/view/articles/2014-12-12/syrian-rebels-c-is-abandoning-them. 75, https://pbs.twim.com/media/bytesy-html/https://www.youtube.com/watch?mark v=www2lt-wcpcc and feature=youtube.b/https://pbs.twim.com/media/bitencookier22.jpg:large. 76, https://www.youtube.com/watch?mark v=maku6uw4g40 and feature=youtube.b/https://www.youtube.com/watch?mark feature=player_embedded and v=dbpcquasipo. 77, Josh Rogan, Syrian Rebels See U.S. Abandoning Them, the 13th of December 2014, https://www.bloomberg.com/view/articles/2014-12-12/syrian-rebels-c-is-abandoning-them. 78, Faisal Attani, What Went Wrong in Idlib? Atlantic Council. The 4th of November 2014, http://www.atlanticcouncil.org/blog/menasor/what-went-wrong-in-idlib?mark/utm_content=buffer5ekber and utm_medium=social and utm_source=twitter.com and utm_campaign=buffer#vfjjw_o2c.twitter. 79, Aaron Lund, Our Enemy is Bashar al-Assad, an interview with Ara al-Shams Muhammad Talal Bazabashi, Carnegie Middle East Center. The 12th of November 2014, http://carnegie-mech.org/dewan/57201?lang=n. 80, https://twitter.com/archicivilian/status/54678261850349977676?Ann Barnard, As Syria's Revolution Sputters, A Chaotic Stalemate, New York Times. The 27th of December 2014, https://www.nytimes.com/2014/12/28/world/is-syrias-revolution-sputters-a-chaotic-stalemate.html?mark/smith=t_w-share_and_r=3. 81, Nusra withdraws from Turkey border, now. The 10th of August 2015, https://now.mmedia.me/lb/news-reports/565709-nusra-withdraws-from-turkey-border. 82, Joseph Deyer, Demonstrations in Al-Atareb, Aleppo Countryside, Against Attempts by Jihadist Group of Jabhat Fateh al-Sham to Take Over the Oven of the Town, Syria Freedom Forever. The 3rd of February 2017, https://syria-freedom-forever.wordpress.com/2017/02/03/demonstrations-in-al-atareb-aleppo-countryside-against-attempts-by-jihadist-group-of-jabhat-fateh-al-sham-to-take-over-the-dash-oven-of-the-town-dash. 83, Scott Lucas, Why Southern Rebels Distance Themselves from Jabhat al-Nusra, A Worldview. The 16th of April 2015, http://eaworldview.com/2015/04/syria-interview-y-southern-rebels-distance-themselves-from-jabhat-al-nusra/84, Josh Rogan, No Syrian Rebels Allowed at ISIS War Conference, Daily Beast. The 14th of October 2014, http://www.thedailybeast.com/no-syrian-rebels-allowed-at-isis-war-conference. 85, Scott Lucas, Did the U.S. Abandon Its 54 Trained Rebels? A Worldview. The 31st of July 2015, http://eaworldview.com/2015/07/syria-daily-did-the-abandon-its-54-trained-rebels/. 86, US-led airstrikes kill 8 people, including 4 Nusra front fighters, in Idlib, Zayman al-Wazl. The 29th of July 2015, https://en.zamanarlwsl.net/news/10948.html?utm_campaign=shareaholic and utm_media=twitter and utm_source=social network. 87, https://justpaste.it/mpnr. 88, https://twitter.com/abujamahem/status/61778076754083438. 89, Scott Lucas, Did the U.S. Abandon Its 54 Trained Rebels? A Worldview. The 31st of July 2015, http://eaworldview.com/2015/07/syria-daily-did-the-abandon-its-54-trained-rebels/. 90, Sam Heller, Syria's newest rebel army has its sights on the Islamic State, Vice News. The 1st of December 2015, https://news.vice.com/article/syria's-newest-rebel-army-has-its-sites-on-the-islamic-state. 91, Scott Lucas, Assad's bombs aid Islamic State offensive in Aleppo province, A Worldview. The 2nd of June 2015, http://eaworldview.com/2015/06/syria-daily-assads-bombs-aid-islamic-state-offensive-in-aleppo-province/. 92, Roy Gutman and Musab al-Hamadi, Rebels Call for U.S. Airstrikes as Islamic State Advances Near Aleppo, Miami Herald. The 1st of June 2015, http://www.miami-herald.com/news/nation-world/world/article/2283891.html/storylink=cpy. 93, Michael Weiss, Exclusive, Syrian Rebels Backing Out of U.S. Fight vs. ISIS, Daily Beast. The 31st of May 2015, http://www.thedailybeast.com/exclusive-syrian-rebels-backing-out-of-fight-vs-isis. 94, Michael Weiss, They've Got U.S. Guns. Can They Stop ISIS? Daily Beast. The 22nd of June 2016, http://www.thedailybeast.com/they've-got-us-guns-can-they-stop-ISIS. 95, Scott Lucas, U.S. Puts More Troops Into North, A Worldview. The 10th of March 2017, http://eaworldview.com/2017/03/syria-daily-us-puts-more-troops-into-north/. 96, U.S. sets up new military base in Syrian Kurdistan, Bas News. The 22nd of January 2017, http://www.basnews.com/index.php/n/news/middle-east/325757. 97, Scott Lucas, With Russian and U.S. Help, Regime Takes Palmyra from ISIS, A Worldview. The 3rd of March 2017, http://eaworldview.com/2017/03/syria-daily-regime-with-russian-help-retakes-palmyra-from-isis/. 98. The Free Syrian Army Southern Front, Statement No. 4. The Transition Phase, RFS Media Office, 10 December 2014, https://rfsmediaoffice.com/n/2014/12/15/the-free-syrian-army-southern-front-transitional-phase/. 99, FSA moves against Nusra in South Syria, now. 15 April 2015, https://now.m/media.me/lb/news-reports/56514-EFSA-moves-against-Nusra-in-South-Syria. 100. Scott Lucas, Why Southern Rebels Distance Themselves from Jabhat al-Nusra, A Worldview. 16 April 2015, http://eaworldview.com/2015/04/syria-interview-why-southern-rebels-distance-themselves-from-jabhat-al-nusra/. 101, Suleyman al-Khalidi, Assad's forces capture strategic town in southern Syria, Reuters. 7 May 2013, http://www.reuters.com/article/syria-crisis-town-adusbray94703H2013058. 102, Joanna Parachet, The U.S.-Saudi Conflict Over Arms to Insurgents, A Worldview. 23 June 2013, http://eaworldview.com/2013/06/syria-special-the-saudi-conflict-over-arms-to-insurgents/. 103, Julian Borger and Nick Hopkins, West Training Syrian Rebels in Jordan, The Guardian. 9 March 2013, https://www.theguardian.com/world/2013/mar/08/west-training-syrian-rebels-jordan. 104, Scott Lucas, Report, U.S. Restricting Rebel Offensive in Daraa City, A Worldview. 23 August 2015, http://eaworldview.com/2015/08/syria-daily-regime-carries-out-another-mass-killing-in-duma/hashdara. 105, Mohanad Mezgish, Why is Operation Southern Storm Failing? 11 July 2015, http://syria4rev.blogspot.com.au/2015/07/y-is-operation-southern-storm-failing.html. 106, Scott Lucas, Joint Operations Room in Jordan Halted Rebel Assault on Key Regime Airbase, A Worldview. 17 June 2015, http://eaworldview.com/2015/06/syria-feature-joint-operations-room-in-jordan-halted-rebel-assault-on-key-regime-airbase/. 107, at Frida R11, unconfirmed. We have been warned in the south by USA not to advance to Damascus otherwise they will attack FSA, July 2015, http://imager.com/a/otanu. 108, Daraa rebels ordered to stop fighting Syria regime, report, now. 22 January 2016, https://now.m/media.me/lb/n/news-reports/56614-daraa-rebels-ordered-to-stop-fighting-syria-regime-report. 109, Michael Weiss and Pierre Vaux, Are U.S. Missiles Taking Out High-Ranking Russian Military Officials? Daily Beast. 2 May 2016, http://www.thedailybeast.com/a-missiles-taking-out-high-ranking-russian-military-officials. 110, Osama al-Sharif, Has Jordan Acquiesced to Assad Regime Offensive in Southern Syria? Middle East Institute. 12 January 2016, http://www.may.edu/content/articles/has-jordan-acquiesced-assad-regime-offensive-southern-syria. 111, Lina Al-Safan, Syria Talks Face Mounting Pressure as Rebels Refuse to Negotiate with Assad, Middle East I. 18 December 2015, http://www.middleeastei.net/news/jordan-presents-list-160-terrorist-groups-syria-international-council-2106399989. 112, Daraa rebels ordered to stop fighting Syria regime, report, now. The 22nd of January 2016, https://now.me/lb/n/news/566514-daraa-rebels-ordered-to-stop-fighting-syria-regime-report. 113, Phil Sands and Suhar Mayer, far from Raqqa and Fallujah, Syria rebels open new front against ISIL in the south, The National. The 28th of May 2016, http://www.thenational.ae/world/middle-east/far-from-raqqa-syria-rebels-open-new-front-against-isil-in-the-south-full. 114, Scott Lucas, claim, US-led operations center sets conditions on support for rebels, AA worldview. The 2nd of May 2016, http://eaworldview.com/2016/05/syria-feature-operations-center-conditions-support-rebels/. 115, 748 TNT barrels on Daraa on June 2016, Yala Sorya. The 2nd of July 2016, https://yalasoria.wordpress.com/2016/07/01/syria-748-tnt-barrels-on-daraa-on-june-2016/. 116, https://pbs.twim.com/media/clq01marpgrz.jpg. 117, Alban Sakola, South Syria rebels ordered to not attack regime-held town. Report, now. The 17th of August 2016, https://now.me/lb/n/news/reports/567284-south-syria-rebels-ordered-to-not-attack-regime-held-town-report. 118, Josh Rogan, US shoots down idea of Syria safe zone, the 29th of July 2015, https://www.bloomberg.com/view/articles/2015-07-28/u-s-shoots-down-idea-of-syria-safe-zone. 119, Michael R. Gordon and Eric Schmidt, airstrikes by Russia buttress Turkey in battle versus ISIS, New York Times. The 8th of January 2017 https://www.ny.com/2017/01/08/politics/russia-turkey-syria-airstrikes-isis.html?smit=t-w-share-r=o. 120, https://pbs.twim.com/media/cql-nvmarg6e6.jpg. 121, Syria, rebels, Kurds, racing, to retake his held border town, The New Arab. The 22nd of August 2016, https://www.alarabi.co.uk/english/in-depth/2016/8/22/syria-rebels-kurds-racing-to-retake-is-held-border-town. 122, Turkey to build refugee cities on security zone vacated by Daesh, Yeni Safak. The 26th of August 2016, http://www.yenisafak.com/n/news/turkey-to-build-refugee-cities-on-security-zone-vacated-by-Daesh-2517694. 123, Hume Evra Pamuk and Nick Tattersall, as Syrian rebels squeezed in Aleppo, Turkish backers' eyes are elsewhere, Reuters. The 29th of November 2016, http://uk.reuters.com/article/up-medist-crisis-syria-turkey-adukbn130294. 124, https://www.youtube.com/watch?v=hkfzwr5w1fe. 125, Haid, did Turkey abandon Aleppo to fight Syrian Kurds? Now. The 4th of October 2016, https://now.me/lb/n/commentary-analysis/56740-1-did-turkey-abandon-aleppo-to-fight-the-syrian-kurds. 126, Opposition Secretary says Aleppo collapse was regional deal, interview, Zaman al-Wazl. 4 January 2017, https://en.zamanalwsl.net/news/21880.html. 127, No longer realistic, Turkey admits U-turn on policy to rid Syria of Assad, Middle East I. 20 January 2017, http://www.middleeastei.net/news/turkey-confirms-u-turn-policy-rid-syria-assad-1656577783. 128, Patrick Wintour, Aleppo could be bombed into smithereens, warns John Kerry, The Guardian. 1 November 2016, https://www.theguardian.com/world/2016/october/31/aleppo-syria-john-kerry-russia-diplomacy. 129, Erdogan, Putin agree to clear Aleppo of Nusra, Hurriyet Daily News. 13 June 2017, http://www.hurriyetdailynews.com/erdogan-putin-agree-to-clear-aleppo-of-nusra.aspx?page=238 and NID=105125. 130, Scott Lucas, Rebel Battle v. Jihadists of Jabhat Fateh al-Sham in Northwest, AIA Worldview. 24 January 2017, http://eaworldview.com/2017/01/syria-developing-rebels-fighting-v-jihadists-of-jabhat-fateh-al-sham-in-northwest/. 131, Alex MacDonald, Analysis, Why Fateh al-Sham is lashing out at Syrian rebels, Middle East I. 26 January 2017, http://www.middleeast.net/news/y-jabhat-fateh-al-sham-fighting-other-rebels-syria-1902636393. 132, Leila Alwin, Anti-Nusra Front Demo in Idlib, Start of New Revolution, Al-Arabiya. 4 February 2017, https://english.alarabia.net/n/news/middle-east/2017/02/04/activist-says-anti-nusra-front-demo-in-idlib-beginning-of-new-revolution.html. 133, https://justpaste.it/jfs_balance. 134, Sadiq Abdul Rahman, Rebel Idlib's 100 Days of Protest Against Al-Qaeda, Al-Jumhuriya. 16 August 2016, Accessed Iskar Ani Zamblog, https://iskartan-nizam.wordpress.com/2016/08/16/rebel-idlibs-100-days-of-protest-against-al-Qaeda/. 135, Joint Statement by Iran, Russia, Turkey on the International Meeting on Syria in Astana, January 23-24, 2017, Al Jazeera. 25 January 2017, http://www.aljazeera.com/news/2017/01/astana-joint-statement-iran-russia-turkey-full-1701241339510638.html. 136, Paula Asti and Nazir Reader, Nusra confronts Syrian factions in response to secret Astana clause, Ashaq al-Orsat. 25 January 2017, https://english.avsat.com/paula-asti-and-nazir-reader/news-middle-east/nusra-confronts-syrian-factions-response-secret-astana-clause. 137, Scott Lucas, Russia-Turkey-Iran pledge ceasefire, but Assad regime says no, AIA Worldview. the 25th of January 2017, http://eaworldview.com/2017/01/Syria-Daily-Russia-Turkey-Iran-Pledge-Ceasefire-Assad-Regime-No/138, the opposition delegation in Astana refuses to talk about JFS till Iran-backed militias get out of hashtag Syria, Eldarar Alshamir. The 23rd of January 2017, http://en.eldarar.com/node/4536. 139, National Coalition of Syrian Revolution and Opposition Forces, Nirabia. We reject Iran as guarantor of ceasefire agreement, the 23rd of January 2017, http://en.atilaf.org/all-news/news/nirabia-we-reject-iran-as-guarantor-of-ceasefire-agreement.html. 140, Jaish al-Mujahideen, we will not accept of al-Assad in a transitional phase, Eldarar Alshamir. The 10th of January 2017, http://en.eldarar.com/node/4375. 141, Adam Kako, Syrian opposition negotiator speaks to Anadolu Agency, Anadolu Agency. The 20th of January 2017, http://rr.com.tr/middle-east/syrian-opposition-negotiator-speaks-to-anadolu-agency/731380. 142, Scott Lucas, Russia-Turkey-Iran pledge ceasefire, but Assad regime says no, AA worldview. The 25th of January 2017, http://eaworldview.com/2017/01/Syria-Daily-Russia-Turkey-Iran-Pledge-Ceasefire-Assad-Regime-No/. 143, National Coalition of Syrian Revolution and Opposition Forces, we call on our people to denounce terror and support establishment of one legitimate military front, the 27th of January 2017, http://en.atilaf.org/press/we-call-on-our-people-to-denounce-terror-and-support-establishment-of-one-legitimate-military-front.html. 144, Pentagon, we killed 250 members of Al-Qaeda in Idlib since the beginning of this year, Eldarar Alshamir. The 21st of January 2017, http://en.eldarar.com/node/4506. 145, Scott Lucas, U.S. claims airstrike killed 100-plus jihadists and rebels, AA worldview. The 21st of January 2017, http://eaworldview.com/2017/01/Syria-Daily-Assad-claims-airstrike-killed-100-jihadists-and-rebels/. 146, Scott Lucas, report, US-led airstrike kills Ara al-Sham commander, AA worldview. The 5th of February 2017, http://eaworldview.com/2017/02/Syria-Daily-the-race-to-capture-al-Bab-from-Islamic-State/Hash-al-Masri. 147, Alex McDonald, former Al-Qaeda affiliate urges Syrian rebels to oppose Turkish invasion, Middle East I. The 23rd of September 2016, http://www.MiddleEastEye.net/news/former-al-Qaeda-affiliate-calls-opposition-opposed-Turkish-invasion-3246667843. 148, Amar Shawki and Roy Gutman, a letter from rebel-controlled Idlib, Syria, The Nation. The 1st of December 2016, https://www.thenation.com/article/letter-from-rebel-controlled-idlib-syria/. 149, Murtaza Hussein, militant leader talks about break with Al-Qaeda and possible Syrian rebel merger, The Intercept. The 24th of August 2016, https://theintercept.com/2016/08/23/militant-leader-talks-about-break-with-al-Qaeda-and-possible-Syrian-rebel-merger/. 150, Bethan McKernan, Donald Trump signifies he will end U.S. support for Syrian rebels despite their pleas to him for help, The Independent. The 12th of November 2016, http://www.independent.co.uk/news/world/middle-east/is-president-elect-donald-trump-support-assad-putin-syria-remove-rebel-backing-a7413346.html. 151, Christiane Tribert, confirmed, US responsible for Aleppo mosque bombing, Bellingcat. 16 March 2017, https://www.bellingcat.com/news/mena/2017/03/16/is-missile-remains-reportedly-recovered-from-site-of-aleppo-mosque-bombing/. 152, Russian Foreign Ministry no doubt US airstrikes in Syrian village targeted terrorists, TASS. 17 March 2017, http://tass.com/politics/936193. 153, dozens dead in US-led North Syria airstrike as coalition meets, Daily Star. 22 March 2017, http://www.dailystar.com.lb/news/middle-east/2017/mar-22/398618-33-dead-in-led-airstrike-on-north-syria-activists.ash. 154, Alessandro Accorsi, U.S. coalition, kills hundreds of Mosul civilians in 1 week, report Middle East Eye. 8 March 2017, http://www.middleeasteye.net/news/is-led-coalition-already-killed-hundreds-civilians-west-mosul-1-week-march-12713865700. 155, Scott Lucas, with Russia and US help, regime takes Palmyra from ISIS, AIA Worldview. 3 March 2017, http://eaworldview.com/2017/03/syria-daily-regime-with-russian-is-help-retakes-palmyra-from-isis/. 156, https://pbs.twim.com/media/c5619fcxqyption.jpg. 157, Michael Gordon, White House accepts political reality of Assad's grip on power in Syria, The New York Times. 31 March 2017, https://www.nytimes.com/2017/03/31/us/politics/trump-bashar-assad-syria.html:Michelle Nichols. U.S. priority on Syria no longer focused on getting Assad out, Haley. 30 March 2017, http://mobile.reuters.com/article/idusbn1712ql:. Tillerson says Assad's fate up to Syrian people, Daily Mail. 31 March 2017, http://www.dailymail.co.uk/wires/afp/article-43645926/Tillerson-says-assads-long-term-status-syrian-people.html. 158, Varghese K. George, Mattis no danger of conflict with Russia. Defeating ISIS still main priority, The Hindu. 12 April 2017, http://www.thehindu.com/news/international/no-danger-of-conflict-with-russia-mattis/article17957314.ec. 159, Brooke Seipel, Tillerson. Strikes don't signal change in military action policy in Syria, The Hill. Blog, 6 April 2017, http://thehill.com/blog/blog-briefing-room/news/327741-Tillerson-strikes-don't-mean-we've-change-our-policy-posture-on. 160, Colin Wilhelm, McMaster. U.S. eager for regime change in Syria, 9 April 2017, http://www.politico.com/story/2017/04/hr-mcmaster-syria-regime-change-237038. 161, Sadiq Abdul Rahman, Rebel Idlib's 100 Days of Protest Against Al-Qaeda, Al-Jumhuriyah. 16th of August 2016, accessed it iskar-ani-zamblog, https://iskar-tin-nizam.wordpress.com/2016/08/16/rebel-idlibs-100-days-of-protest-against-al-qaeda/. 162, Joseph Deyer, Demonstrations in Al-Atareb, Aleppo Countryside, Against Attempts by Jihadist Group of Jabhat Fateh al-Sham to Take Over the Oven of the Town, Syria Freedom Forever. 3 February 2017, https://syria-freedom-forever.wordpress.com/2017/02/03/demonstrations-in-al-atareb-aleppo-countryside-against-attempts-by-jihadist-group-of-jabhat-fateh-al-sham-to-take-over-the-oven-of-the-town-dash. 163, Liz Sly and Zakaria Zakaria, Al-Qaeda is eating us, Syrian rebels are losing out to extremists, Washington Post. 23 February 2017, https://www.washingtonpost.com/world/middle_east/al-qaeda-is-eating-is-syrian-rebels-a-losing-out-to-extremists/2017/02/23/f9c6d1d4-f8852-11e6-r1e-5f7351334_story.html
question mark HP equals HP underscore HP dash more dash top dash stories underscore Syria dash rebels dash 7:05 PM percent 3 a homepage percent 2 F story and UTM underscore term equals dot 137 DOBD 80880. 164, Felix Legrand, The Strategy of Jabhat al-Nusra, Jabhat Fath al-Sham in Regarding the Truces in Syria, 2 October 2016, Noria. http://www.noria-research.com/strategy-regarding-truces-in-syria/.